I think the first thing we really wanted to say was that you ought to have some contact with some Quakers who are not, you have to get your heels
off. Sure, I understand. I don't mind the ones that get out, because basically the Quakers, the real Quakers, not the new ones, but the real ones, like my mother, she was a devout pacifist. My mother and grandmother completely disapproved of my going into World War II.
I know that.
Completely. Yeah. Well, you know what fell out. You know how they all fell.
I knew that.
But I must say, we understand. How did you had never been to Russia before?
I've never been to Russia before this particular.
You've been there, Alan, haven't you?
No, I haven't. I wish I had.
I've been all around the area. Back in the times when I was a correspondent, I tried to go to Russia and I couldn't go.
Did you see Bill Moyer's book?
Oh yeah, I traveled to read it, sir. Bill Moyer's, no. This is an interview with you.
Yes, in my study, darling.
He made this trip around the country writing up his impressions about America, and Elton was one of the people he interviewed.
Crossbridge, Ohio. That's all true.
I was afraid you hadn't seen it. It's just recently out there.
There's quite a bit. They were part of the Underground Railroad.
Very much.
Right.
It's your grandmother and mine. Now,
this is great.
I thought this would be delightful to you. I hope
so.
Now,
that's very nice.
Now, when I'm here again and you don't feel terribly hurt, I want to tell you all about Lincoln and Mrs. Grant. You know, she was with President and had prayer. And then there was this wonderful correspondence. And all of this bears very much upon your present life. I wondered if you'd like to borrow that copy.
That's very interesting. Now, this was
1862. And the darkest period of the Civil War when she came.
But this letter is 1864.
Yes, that should be related.
Yeah, just be
part of it. They kept up a correspondence after.
They kept up the correspondence.
Yeah.
And you get to
did it all by hand. Those were the days. You know, were good letters.
We wrote.
Today we don't do it.
I know.
None of us
big tape.
And you see,
it's a beautiful thing.
These are some of the most powerful things in the world. And he speaks of this terrible war which no man could make and no man can stand. I think that's one of the most brilliant phrases he ever had.
What? That no man can what? Is it?
Surely he intends some great good to follow this mighty convulsion, which no mortal could make and no mortal could stay.
Well, I don't want to. Well, this is
an error. It's an error of conscience.
Yeah, I will. I'll borrow and return to you. How's that?
That's a fine phrase, and that's.
As a matter of fact, just coincidentally, I happen to be rereading.
Of course, I told you that in the letter. Now, here is a letter to you from the pastor of the First Friends Meeting in this. You can read some time. And here are Landrum's...
Beautiful letter of support.
Here are Landrum's two...
First Friends in Russia?
Yeah.
Here are Landrum's two statements from Russia and Israel.
Good.
You see, you just come back.
You were in Israel too.
I was in Israel and in Cairo. I've made many trips in the last 3 years to Israel and Cairo.
Yeah.
And we've had very much in-depth discussions, and I've kept very close in touch with the representatives all around the circle.
Yeah, I know.
And, it's been for us the most enlightening experience. And what we're trying to do is to help sustain the messengers of hope, but also in some cases, bearers of bad news.
Sure.
I have to tell these very different readers in some cases, you know, every time I go back and forth, they go, what the other side tell you?
Of course. That's all I want.
And I say, you know, if you insist on this particular point, I don't think you'll ever get these. You never get any settlements.
No.
I can't tell you what you'll do. I'm not trying to be an intermediator. I'm not trying to study this problem and communicate back and forth. And one of the job we have now, frankly, is communicating with our Jewish friends in this country. And I spent a tremendous amount of time.
They're so unreasonable.
Oh, good Lord, you have no idea.
Oh, I do have an idea. I know. The point is that what they have to understand is that, and I've talked from cold turkey, I public that support there. But you know, they always play American politics, and they think, well, there's election months, and all of us are going to have to do what we want. I won't. I will not put the interests of the American Jewish community above the interests of this country.
Great.
I will not. The other thing is that I tell them, I say, now look here, you fellows have a bargaining position now that you'll never have. It's going to get worse.
Absolutely.
Because Egyptians can learn to fight. I said, if North Vietnamese can learn to fight, Egyptians can learn to fight. And eventually they'll enlist you. I said, you can live in this year, you can live 5 years from now, but in the end they'll beat you. So make your peace while you're ahead.
Great.
And they don't see it. But it's a, believe me, I talked to them. You just keep kidding that because I believe it thoroughly. It's in their interest.
Yes, of course.
I am not. Let me tell you, if there's one thing, whatever happens in the next, we'll have some good news for you in the next few weeks, I can assure you, on several fronts, but at least on one in particular. But let me tell you, whatever happens on the Mideast, and I'm the first man really that can say this, with the possible exception of Eisenhower, who had said it was it. But I will not allow the Jewish lobby in this country to have us create a policy that involves us in a war in the Mideast or keeps us from having a peace in the Mideast. We cannot do it.
That's
totally
the right policy. That's
one. And I'm a friend of the Israelis. Anybody, nobody can go to Israel without being harassed. They're wonderful people.
Martin.
But they have got to start being reasonable.
Absolutely.
That's my like to have you in fall. Perhaps the summer is not a good time.
It's not.
You'll get a good crowd.